Welcome to Everyday Endeavors, a Christian podcast where we talk about becoming more like Christ in our everyday lives. Regardless of ethnicity, age, or sex, this podcast walks through the various aspects of life, whereby we try to mature like Christ daily. I am your host, Osasre Mafidon, and welcome to Season 3.
I didn't intend to start like that, yet here we are. Hi, everyone. I hope you're doing well. I hope the month of November has been good and you're getting ready for December, getting ready for Christmas. But there's something that God has placed in my heart for me to share this month and this new coming month. And I pray that it blesses you as it has blessed me. It's somewhat of a testimony, and I really do pray that even if it's just one person, it's also a testimony for you. So as you can see from the title, A Jealous God, How God Snatched Me from K-Drama. Dun, dun, dun! How God Snatched Me from K-Drama. So the verse, the scripture, comes from Revelations 21:8. And I was thinking about, you know, what the next podcast episode was going to be, and it was really in my heart, addiction, and just how God set me free, and just to help whoever, even if it's one person. And as I was going through that, and I was thinking about it and mulling over it, I came to, or the Holy Spirit directed me to Revelations 21:8, which says in NLT, "But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." So I read that, and obviously, all of them, and these are people that we have to share the gospel with in all likes, but the one that really stuck out to me was idol worshippers. And I think sometimes we don't actually know that we're worshiping an idol until it's too late. Or we don't know that we're worshiping an idol because it seems so small. How can that thing be an idol? And I just want to share my testimony and just the word that God has put in me to share about idol worship and how that looks like in different areas of life. And yeah, let's get into it. All right, let me give you background story. So in Nigeria, there's a word called gist, which is basically like, let me give you the tea. So for most of my life, I have watched television, like most of us. I've watched television, and Disney, Nickelodeon, and if you don't know what those things are, you can just search them up on Google. But Disney, Nickelodeon, I watched some shows that I shouldn't have watched as a child. I watched many movies. I've watched a lot of things. And as a kid, it's very innocent. Like, you're just watching TV. It's pastime, you know. Your parents are more strict on you with school. So you just finish school. You come back. Now you're watching something while you're eating or whatever. But as I grew up, the pattern continued. And and the reason I was watching was no longer solely for entertainment, but it was also a way to cope with life. And we all have our ways of coping. 80% of them are not good, but we all have our ways of coping. And this was one of my ways. And for a long time, I depended on television to help me escape from my reality, because I would rather watch people living in a fake world with fake issues than face the real issues that I had in my life at the time. So TV was an escape for me, and I was running to that place. I was running to TV shows and movies when I was feeling sad or upset, or I didn't want to think about a problem, rather than running to God. So that's where, you know, TV, the bulk of all that stuff came from. When I gave my life to God, the Holy Spirit was slowly but surely convicting me. I remember one time specifically, I was in my bed, and it was around COVID-19 time, and I was watching TV like regular on a tablet, and I was watching, and I remember the Holy Spirit say to me, "That's enough for tonight." That was the last episode. And I said, "Last episode? No, sir. Sorry. We just started. It's like 11 p.m. I got three more episodes in me." And I didn't listen to that conviction. And little stuff like that, little subtle things like that would happen. And I would just not really listen per se or anything. And yeah. So then over time, you know, as I'm growing in my faith, then maybe it's, we're going on a fast. I'm not going to watch TV for a couple of days. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And it progressed. And I was working to it slowly to the point where God said, "Don't watch this series anymore." And I obeyed. It hurt, but I obeyed. And then 2022, around September, I stumbled upon the world of Korean drama. And if you know anything about Korean drama, you do know that it actually has like addictive properties. The way they hook you in, the whole thing, it's very addictive. And I don't per se know the psychology behind addiction. It's definitely there, but it's a way that it hooks you. So yes, I was addicted. So I came into Korean drama and I was like, whoa, what is this? Like, it's like American TV, but on steroids. Like, what is this? If you're like, I don't know what a Korean drama is. Korean drama is a type of television series in the Korean language made in South Korea. So they're longer than a regular American episode. Yeah. So it's like an hour and something, and then it's like a movie but prolonged. It's kind of in between an American movie and American series, kinda. The shows go into real, like, it's deeper. It has like a lot of depth in it, and they do kind of show the psychology of people and all that stuff. It's more conservative, not a lot of explicit showings of, you know, body parts or anything like that. Korean drama. So around September 2022, I started watching Korean dramas, and at first I didn't think it was going to be a problem. I was like, it's just TV, and I actually really like it. It was different. I enjoyed it. But as the months progressed, I noticed that I was choosing Korean dramas over God and over time with God. And you'd watch an episode and they leave such a strong cliffhanger that you're like, I'm just going to watch one more. But that one more is an hour and something minutes. And that's time that you could have spent with the Lord. And I noticed that I would choose to watch TV over God. I noticed that I would rush conversations over, I would rush conversations to go watch Korean dramas. I noticed that I would not put in a lot of effort into school because I wanted to watch a Korean drama. I noticed after church, I would come home and it was a routine. Like, I would, you know, get ready for bed and I would have my Korean drama. I would have my dinner. Like, it was a thing. And it was really consuming my life. It was really consuming my life. And I understand that this is not for everybody. Cool. Everyone has their own thing that their God is working out of them. But this was my thing, and it was bad. It was very bad for me. And my life began to revolve around Korean dramas, so much so that when I would go on Instagram, it would continuously suggest Korean content. So whether that was BTS or Blackpink, or just more and more Korean dramas I didn't even know existed. So I would be scrolling on Instagram to take a break from Korean drama, but I'm seeing Korean drama. And then I would screenshot the next show that I want to watch. And it got to a point where I was watching like 3 to 4 shows in one. Before it was like I would watch one whole series and then I would start a new one. But it began to be I would watch 3 like essentially at the same time. I would finish one, go to the next, go to the next. And as you can hear, it was very unhealthy. So this pattern continued to progress, and over time, God was like, okay, you see that there's a problem. I felt that there was a problem even in my soul. And I think this was all September 2021, I believe. September 2022, God told me to go on a fast kind of, like, not really a fast, but he was just telling me to stop watching Korean dramas. I went to a conference and yeah, I left feeling like, okay, I'm gonna stop. And in my mind, I felt like 6 months would suffice. So for 6 months, I didn't watch Korean drama, and I grew during that time. But when I came back, it was the same thing. Like, it just, there was no real change. And it was frustrating. And yeah, I was being more on guard, but there was no real change, and I didn't feel fulfilled. So the other conference that I went to that I told you guys about in the last episode, Live It Loud in Ottawa, Canada, it was such a powerful conference, and I left with so many things. And one of them was, I am no longer going to watch Korean drama. I left with the confidence, the courage, the will, the desire to no longer watch Korean drama. And since then, I've stopped. And I guess now it's almost been 6 months. Four months. Yeah. And from time to time, I do still get tempted to watch, even recently. And I was telling someone very close to me, I'm like, oh, I feel tempted to watch Korean drama again. And he said that you have to be mindful, because it's not a coincidence that you're making an episode on addiction and you're feeling tempted to watch something that God has set you free from. Yeah, so that's kind of the quick little rundown, the background story, the gist, the tea of Korean drama and the whole thing. So the whole point, the whole thing was, I had a dependency on it to run away from life's difficulties. I mean, that's where the addiction comes from, because addiction is something in which you depend on. There's a dependency as a form of escape, physical and mental dependence on a particular substance. So there was a dependence. Like, if you can't stop doing something that you're doing and you feel like withdrawal symptoms from that thing, you're dependent on it. Like, if you can't go off of Instagram for a whole week and not feel like I need to scroll, you're addicted. You're dependent on that thing. So yeah. And the thing was, this is such a small thing. This is TV. Why is that? Like, it doesn't matter. Adultery could be a small thing. It doesn't have to be a big, you know, out of the world, like, oh, porn. Everyone talks about porn. Masturbation. It doesn't have to be these big things. It could just be something as small as you watch too much TV. You scroll on Instagram for too long. You need to stop eating those cookies every time you get upset. Something small. It doesn't have to be this big, big thing. So why does God not want us to be adulterous? And I hope I'm saying that right. The reason why God doesn't want us to be adulterous or have an idol in our life is because God is a jealous God who will not let his bride commit adultery. So if you look at Ezekiel 16, 1 to 22, and that's where the main bulk of our scripture is coming from. If you look there, you'll be able to see, and by God's grace, we'll be able to understand. So follow me. Ezekiel 16, 1 to 22. Son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable sins. Give her this message from the sovereign Lord. You are nothing but a Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. On the day you were born, no one cared about you. Your umbilical cord was not cut, and you were never washed, rubbed with salt, and wrapped in cloth. But I came by, and I saw you there, helpless, kicking about in your own blood. As you lay there, I said, live. And I helped you to thrive like a plant in the field. You grew up and became a beautiful jewel. Your breasts became full and your body hair grew. But you were still naked. And when I passed by again, I saw that you were old enough for love. So I wrapped my cloak around you to cover your nakedness and declared my marriage vows. I made a vow with you, says the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. I gave you expensive clothing of fine linen and silk, beautifully embroidered, and sandals made of fine goatskin leather. I gave you lovely jewelry, bracelets, beautiful necklaces, and so you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were made of fine linen and costly fabrics and were beautifully embroidered.
You ate the finest foods, choice flour, honey, olive oil, and became more beautiful than ever. You looked like a queen, and you were. Your fame soon spread throughout the world because of your beauty. I dressed you in my splendor and perfected your beauty, says the Sovereign Lord. But you thought your fame and beauty were your own. So you gave yourself as a prostitute to every man who came along. Your beauty was theirs for the asking. You used the lovely things I gave you to make shrines for idols, where you played the prostitute. Unbelievable. How could such a thing ever happen? You took the very jewels and gold and silver adorned I had given you, and you made statues of men and worshiped them. This is idolatry against me. This is idolatry against me. Imagine it. You set before them as a sacrifice the choice flour, olive oil, and honey I had given you, says the Sovereign Lord. Then you took your sons and your daughters, the children you had born to me, and sacrificed them to your gods. Was your prostitution not enough? In all your years of adultery and detestable sins, you have not once remembered the days long ago when you lay naked in a field, kicking about in your own blood. That was Ezekiel 16:2-4, 6-8, 10-11, 13-17, 19-20, and 22. So what does that have to do? What does that have to do with K-drama? What does that have to do with idolatry? What does that have to do with anything? Before we go there, I feel like someone's like, I didn't know the Bible had all this. Yes, it does. Ezekiel, go and read. God is saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Now, all this sin and everything that I've done for you, everything that I've done to take care of you, that I cleaned you when you were naked, I clothed you, we got married, we came into covenant, all those things that I've done, you gave them away. You gave them to men who are not me. I am your husband, and all the things that I've done for you, you gave to another. You cheated on me. On me. And it's such a beautiful, heartbreaking story, what we do to God regularly. That he's done all these things for us. And also, this whole thing, this whole God setting me free from, this is for believers. Like, believers. If you're not a believer and you still want to listen, please go ahead and enjoy. But this is for believers. This is for those who are cheating on God. Those who are cheating on God, on their husband. Cheating on their friend. Cheating on the one that loves them the most. This is for them. This is for me. God loves you. He loves you, and he sent his only son to die for you. And after he died, and after you received healing, you received all these miraculous things, we began to cheat on him because we got too comfortable. We began to see all the things he did for us, and we took it for granted. And from that taking it for granted, we began to do disgusting things, detestable things in the sight of the Lord. That I was saved, that I am saved. And I got comfortable. I thought if I just read my Bible, if I just prayed, if I just came to church on Sunday, I could live my life outside however I pleased. As long as I incorporate God in there somehow, it's good enough. It's not. It's not. It breaks God's heart. So if you're in a season where God is trying to take something away, like take something away that is killing you, that it is you prostituting yourself against him, don't fight it. Because your husband wants you back. Your husband wants the covenant that he made with you long ago. Your husband wants you to remember who you used to be without him and how far he's taken you. And a lot of people will say, oh, that sounds like God is prideful. That sounds like da da da. He made the world. He made the world. He made you. And he's so humble that he sent his son. And you could choose if you want him or not. It says in John 3:16, scripture that most of us know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Whoever believes. So it's a choice. It's your will. Whoever believes. And the thing is, we came into that relationship, we believed, and then, again, because of comfort, because of just being ungrateful and all these things, we begin to do things and collect things and just believe the patterns of the world. You know, when they use the examples of, it says in Ezekiel, the scripture we just read, "I gave you lovely jewelry, bracelets, beautiful necklaces, and you were adorned with gold and silver." It doesn't have to be physical things. God blessed you with all the gifts that he's given you. God has given you immaculate things. He's healed your family members. He's healed your body. He has, you know, provided you with favor, and you've gotten jobs that you didn't have before, and, you know, friendships that died that you were supposed to have, he resurrected them, he restored them. Like, people forgave you even though you didn't deserve it. All these things that God has done, because we've taken it for granted, and we just thought we could do anyhow, we cheated on him. He said, "Thank you. Thanks, babe. That was lovely. I really appreciate that." And you use the gifts that God has given you, and you've given it to another. God has given you the gift of singing, and you're singing any type of songs. It says in Matthew 5:14, "You are a light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." So yeah, like, he adorned his wife that he may be glorified. But it was for him as well. Like, it wasn't so that we could just do anything we want with the gifts and the blessings that he's given us. It was for a purpose. It was for a reason. It was for him. The gifts you have are for God. All these things that he's given you is for God. When you said that prayer, we have to understand that Jesus is not only our Savior, but he's our Lord. So we submit to what he's told us to do. And we understand that the gifts that he's given us, or anything that he's given us, is for his glory. Not for our own benefit, not for our own use. So yeah, he's created stuff like Korean dramas for people to enjoy, I mean, in moderation. But like, I was just doing too much, and it was becoming my life. That the things that he's blessed me with, I was misusing. What are the things that God has given you? Because yeah, food is good. Like, to eat a cookie is not a bad thing. Eat a little cookie. But when we're starting to use that cookie and we're making it an idol over our life, that's where the problem begins. So God is a jealous God. He's a jealous husband, and not the one that you've seen on TV, the rubbish that's portrayed, but he's a jealous husband as in, this is my wife. This is my bride. I don't want you to cheat on me. Imagine being cheated. Hey, God forbid. Imagine being cheated on. And instead of tossing us aside, he's like, okay, let's work so that we can come back together. Not so that he can trust you again, but so that you can trust yourself, that you would be faithful to one. So what are the consequences of that idolatry? What are the consequences of the adultery, as in the addiction that you have to a specific thing? I have a few here listed. One is, your addiction is stopping you from receiving. Because you're addicted, because your focus is not on the Lord, it's stopping you from receiving what God already has for you. Your addiction is hindering you from becoming the one that God wants you to become. That is self-explanatory. When I was deep in Korean drama and all those things, like, the amount of things that I've received now by virtue of letting go of Korean drama far surpasses sitting down for an hour and being entertained. There is fulfillment in my life. There is fulfillment in my life now. I've given my life to God for
3 years and some months now, and there is fulfillment in my life. Now, I feel fulfilled in the things that I'm doing for the Lord. I'm loving people differently. I'm able to not rush my conversations with people, but really get deep into it. Really want to know what's going on in your life. That when I say, how are you, is not just so you can say I'm good and I walk away. That when I come back from church, I'm not rushing to watch Korean drama, but I'm spending time with those that I love. That I can give God the time that he deserves. Your addiction is stopping you from receiving. A consequence of adultery is compromise. You compromise. You're like, okay, you know, I want to be faithful to you, but let me just watch a few more episodes. I want to be faithful to you. Okay, how about I do this, but I just don't do that. And that was what happened when I came back after the 6 months. I was like, okay, if I do, I'm not going to watch as much as I used to. So on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll watch. Thursday, I'll take a break. Friday, I'll watch because, you know, it's the weekend. Saturday, I'll watch a little bit throughout the day. And then Sunday, I won't watch anything. And the thing is, compromise is disobedience. You're not doing God a favor. You're not doing yourself a favor. It's disobedience. And the growth you wish you would see, you cannot see it, because God will not reward the hand of disobedience. And it got to a point where my thought pattern and the lie of the enemy was, you can work on your addiction while you're in your addiction. I kept saying to myself, like, I can work on it, even if I'm watching. Like, it's not a big deal. How does that work? How does that work? If your environment is making you sick, you're not going to heal in your environment. And it reminds me of the scripture, Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. I was being a fool. I was being foolish in the sense that I thought that, okay, I'm not watching Korean drama as much as I used to. When? Knowing in my heart that I'm just supposed to stop. So I'm trying to stop by, okay, I'm not going to watch on Saturday, I'm not going to watch on Sunday. And one of the other things, the consequences of adultery, is that you'll be left empty. Same thing with a marital, with the example of God as the groom and Jerusalem as the bride. Or in this scripture, they were actually married together. Going out to prostitute yourself is not going to leave you feeling better. When I was watching those Korean dramas at the end, like when I was really, like I was done with it really, and I was just addicted at that point. Like I was watching shows, I was sitting there for 3 additional hours, like leaving feeling disgusting. You feel empty. Going back to the weed, going back to the drugs, you just feel empty. Going back to the alcohol, you just feel empty. The lie of the enemy is do this thing and you'll feel better. But after you do it, you just feel empty. You even feel gross. You feel gross. So those are some of the consequences or sort of side effects of adultery. It stops you from receiving. You live in compromise and you feel empty every time. So would it explain why there is an idolatrous spirit in Korea and how they want to suck you in? But since we understand that there is a spiritual realm, maybe, you know, society and economists and politicians and psychologists and all these people who do not have the spirit, they'll just say like, no, it's just commercialism. Like, we just want, you are the commodity. The more you watch Korean drama, the more money we make. Yeah, that's how the world will position it. Oh, it's not an idolatrous spirit. It's just they want you to be addicted. Oh, because they just want your money. Because if you're watching Korean drama, you're subscribed to whatever channel they need. You're making money. So they make it addicting. Yeah, that's the earthly perspective. But that in itself, the actual spiritual backing of that thing is an idolatrous spirit. It's a spirit that wants you to be addicted to something, not for commodity's sake, but so that it can hinder your focus on your Father. Hinder your focus on God. Another reason why God doesn't want you to be addicted, because it hinders you from walking with Him wholeheartedly. God wants you to be free in all aspects of your life. But if you're addicted, not only are you bound, which He set you free from, but you're then bound from actually growing in your relationship with Him. It hinders your focus on your Father. It's consuming. It consumes so much parts of your life that when you try to incorporate God in, you're just struggling, because that's not how it's supposed to be. If you're trying to sprinkle Jesus on your life, doing whatever you want, you're addicted to something, or you're lukewarm. And God has called us out of that. When Jesus died on the cross for you, you were set free. You were set free from the grip of sin. You don't have to sin. That's why Christians say you gave in to sin. You're not there helpless when you're tempted, like, I just have to give in. No. It just happened. No. You gave in. You chose to sin because you don't have to. The world, that's a different story. They're bound by their nature, their sinful nature. They're bound by it. But you that's set free, you are free indeed. And you don't have to walk like that. You don't have to talk like that. You don't have to think like that, because you are free. You are free from the mental strongholds. You are free from the physical bondages. You just have to tap into that freedom. You talk to God about that specific thing and you see God work in your life. But when you're trying to compromise and hold on to certain things, that's where you find yourself bound. That's where you find yourself not growing in anything. I've spoken to several people about how God literally snatched them from Korean drama or K-idols, I believe, or anything Korean related. And that's where I was getting like, okay, maybe there's actually an idolatrous spirit there. And then you begin to see how they are so engrossed and enthralled by their idols, and like they live for their idols. That's not normal. That is a spirit, an idolatrous spirit that wants you to be bound by something and hinder your relationship with God. So I've noticed as God has delivered me from that, from those things, and just deciding I live it loud, the Holy Spirit anyways helping me, and God giving me the desire and the will to stop from Korean dramas and other things that He's shown me in my life, I've noticed a few things. One of them is that the things of the world grow strangely dim. Ever since I've genuinely stopped watching Korean dramas, TV just doesn't hit the same. It doesn't hit the same. I'm even talking to God recently. I'm like, God, I need you to give me a show, because all these things are boring. And I don't want to watch this when I'm eating, because it's speaking lies into my ears. It's showing me nonsense, and I don't need that. So God, I need you to provide me with something. That's where I'm even getting to. The things of the world grow strangely dim. The shows that I used to watch, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is so, that it doesn't hit the same anymore. I'm trying to find another word for hit. It's not doing me as it used to do me. It's just like, okay. There was no reality in which I would watch a show and I wouldn't finish it. Now I'm watching movies and like 10 minutes in, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm okay. It's not worth it. This is boring. I've been set free. And then I've noticed that outside of that addiction, there is such beauty. Like, God, there's so many reasons why God doesn't want us to be addicted, or doesn't want us to have an idolatrous have an idol in our life. There's so much he wants to give to you, but he can't give it to you because you're addicted to something. And if he showed you a little bit of it, you would either diminish its value or you would mishandle it. So he can't give it to you. But there's so much he wants to give you that far exceeds your expectations. Far. Whatever you have for your life and you envision for your life, what God has for you far surpasses that. And the enemy will say, even if it's true, man, you're going to have to let go of a lot of stuff. Those friends of yours, you're going to have to let go of them. Smoking weed, you're going to have to let go of that. Swearing, you're going to have to let go of that. And you're like, is it really worth it? Like, this is the way I've been living. Bruh, be for real. Yes, it's going to be hard. When God was telling me the quick range drama, I thought it was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. It's going to be difficult. But outside of that bondage is the most beautiful thing you'll ever see, you'll ever feel, you'll ever walk in, you'll ever live in. You're no longer bound. Stop acting like it. You are no longer bound. Stop acting like it. So, what are the recommendations for this? How do you, because as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. He's ministering to you. You have to let go of this. And we've been talking about this specific thing for a while. We've been talking about this thing for a while. It's time to let go. Ask for help. Ask for help. Ask for wisdom. It says in James that God will give you wisdom without, like, he'll give it to you. It says in James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. God, I'm addicted to weed. I don't know how to stop. Please give me wisdom. He won't be like, you're addicted to weed? Says when? Why? No. Verse 6 says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't tiptoe. It says, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Number 2, I would say just know that the desire to change can actually produce great change in your actions. Because it says in his word, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So even having the desire to do it is a big deal. Because you remember before when you didn't care. But God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So know that the desire to actually change can produce great action, great change in your actions. And it can actually change something. Be encouraged. And the last thing is know that it's a process. From the day I started watching Korean dramas to the day that I stopped, that was a journey. It wasn't, I want to stop now. Whatever the case may be, it is a process. It is a process to go from something that you used to depend on that wasn't God to being free. Be kind to yourself. So that's all we have for today. And I genuinely pray that even if one person, even if you got one thing from this today, I've done my assignment. And I pray that God sets you free from your addiction. I pray, Baba God, I pray for that person who is listening right now, battling between their flesh and their spirit, wanting to give up, wanting to stop, but not feeling like they have enough. Baba God, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord in this moment encourages them, that you, in your merciful power, in your mercy, you give them, Heavenly Father, the desire to do what pleases you. That change begins to happen in their life and they be set free. Set your children free from this specific thing. They're already free. The lie of the enemy is that they're not. Set them free, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for what you've done today, for how you move today, and for how the testimonies will roll in. Even if I never know of the person or the people, that there be change in people's lives. Thank you, God. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And we love you so much. Thank you, God. It's come to the end, guys. The end of this episode. Don't forget to follow this podcast and share this episode if it helped you in any way. Thank you so much for listening. I pray that you learn something new about God and are able to apply it into your everyday lives. Now go. Live out your life as a creation of God in your everyday endeavors. Bye for now.